It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show, talking today with Marsha Wagum. She is the founder of Our Voice for the Voiceless. Marsha, you have a son who has Down syndrome.
Yes.
And it's kids with Down syndrome that you're referring to in the name of the organization, Our Voice for the Voiceless.
Yes.
And by that, is your son nonverbal? Is that where the name comes from? Or are you talking in a larger sense, voiceless, as in can't advocate for themselves?
Yes. Actually, thank you so much for having me. When we think about the voices, the whole idea came from the scripture, Proverbs 31, verses 8 through 9. It says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute, speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Our son, when we found out that he was going to be born with Down syndrome, I wasn't afraid. I wasn't frightened because this was the job that I did back home from I was 18 all the way up to my early 30s. So I was not afraid. But what I was told drive me to start to be the voice, not only for my son, but also for others.
Over the years, I've talked a lot. My cousin Stephanie had Down syndrome and lived to be almost 50 years old. And I have always felt that the reason she lived so long with such a profound disability was because her parents gave everything. Generally speaking, she lived at home for most of her life, and she had her family there, and they were a family. And I think just from the family standpoint and the community support, I still to this day believe that is one of the reasons why she lived as long as she could, because she still had a purpose. Even though she was different than a lot of us, she still had a purpose, and I think she still lived a meaningful life of some sort. And that's kind of the first thing I thought when I saw the interview on the schedule today was, I wonder if that's kind of what you're trying to provide, is a purpose for these young people and their families.
Yes. Resources, support, community, hope. Because we exist, family get a chance to create a new outlook and their now ideal family structure. One of the things I realize is that oftentimes when parents get the diagnosis, they feel like they have lost hope. They feel like they have lost the family that they think they should have, and they won't be able to have it again. So, and that's not true. I'm not saying it's not true because that's not what we feel. It's not true because that's what society tried to paint, the picture, that these people are done for, they are good for nothing, they can't learn, there is no hope. And as a result of that, Gabe, families actually sit on the couch for days. Women are told, and that was my reality, our reality, that you can terminate these kids because they're not going to be able to learn. They're going to depend on you for the rest of their lives. And the list goes on. But because I was a caregiver for over 20 years, and actually all my other kids, my kids were born in that organization, as a caregiver going over there. I know better. And so it's not okay for me to know better that there is so much joy, love, and peace that a child who is different brings, and for me to remain silent. And then when I know it's scriptural and I have a duty, I had us to do something about it. There is so much hope and love and peace and joy. And that's what I'm experiencing. And I'm saying we, with our son who's now 4 years old, I've never experienced true love like this. Actually, there's a song like that, right? I've never experienced love like this before. But
Well, and he's not your only child, right?
No.
And speaking as a parent myself, there is something selfless about being a parent and about just that love between a parent and a child, and particularly a young child. I mean, they become teenagers and the dynamic changes a little bit. But seriously,
yes.
there's just something about that relationship. And then you add a disability of some kind on top of it. And I think it, for a lot of people, adds another level of satisfaction working through that and being able to still take care of that child, even though, and don't get me wrong, there are challenges with every parent-child relationship,
yes, yes.
You know. But you add something like a disability like Down syndrome, and you can smile at the end of the day because you know you are doing good work.
Yes. And what gives us this huge satisfaction, love, compassion, and the drive, like you're saying, your cousin Stephanie, you think she lived that long and such a fulfilling life, is when you know that a diagnosis doesn't define, our surname is Nathan. And so a diagnosis does not define Nathan. That's put everything else that, you know, connotation and the stigma that surrounds people with Down syndrome and other special needs. So we put everything into this category. No, this is, a diagnosis is not Nathan. Actually, when you think about Down syndrome in itself, if we break it down, Downs was the doctor who find out about the characteristics. Syndrome is just the abundance of different things and looks and ways in which across the board the people with this diagnosis look like or will appear, or the stuff that can possibly happen down the street. So we understand that, and so that is easy. When you think about Down syndrome, Gabe, it's actually called trisomy 21. It's this one human being have this extra chromosome number 21. So instead of two, they have three. And so when you understand the education behind it, then it put people into this whole different, put them at ease, and then you get to care and nurture as we are as a mom. I'm a mom of six kids, and we get to be so blessed to parent this one child. And so as a parent of five other kids, I think I like to say society calls them, call us normal. I don't know what that means, right?
Does anybody really?
No, absolutely not.
It's interesting that you've got your other kids as well. That is one of the reasons why I have so many memories of Stephanie, because she's a couple years older than me, but we went to elementary school together. She was in the classroom with us.
Yes.
And so, of course, we knew she was different, but she was still one of us. She was still in the classroom, and we would speak to her. We would have conversations when we could, obviously not during class time, of course,
right.
But, you know, during lunch and recess only, of course, you know, young kids only talk when they're supposed to. Right. And I should mention, actually, I had a cousin, Donna, who was quite a bit older than I was. Hers was actually the first memorial that I went to. I was like 13 and she had passed away and also lived a long life because her mother, my great aunt, took care of her.
Yes.
And poured everything she had into her, as well as her brothers and sisters. Brothers and sister, sorry. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting how you mentioned we think of kids that have a disability as being different.
Yes.
And, you know, we have this idea of what, you know, the perfect person or a normal person is. And as you just mentioned, as we talked about a little bit, you know, what kid does not at some point or another have a disagreement with their parents? And that being not normal is normal, I guess, is really what I'm trying to say. So the organization is called Our Voice for the Voiceless. And that, by the way, is also the website if you want to. I know I just saw it, Marcia. That's your email address, actually. It does.
Yes.
Do you have a website yet? Or are you working off social media?
We have a blog page. It's called A1 Moms Love Parenting.com.
Okay.
But if people want to reach out, we'll just go by our email, okay. Our name, which is our email address. It's ourvoiceforthevoiceless@gmail.com.
It's easy to remember, yes. And it ties in with the organization. So, again, that's ourvoiceforthevoiceless@gmail.com. Obviously, spirituality has played a big role in your life because you said that it was the Bible verse that actually led you to start this nonprofit organization after your son was born.
The Bible verse gave Proverbs 31, verses 8 to 9. Put our voice for the voices in perspective. So it's not just a name that I just pick out but it tells me that, it tells me and it tells us that we ought to be speaking up for those who cannot speak up for themselves, and all fitting because children with Down syndrome, they have a delay in speech because it's mainly the midbrain that their disability lies in, per se. So, but what really led me to start Our Voice for the Voices is when we found out 4 years ago that we were expecting our son, and now we were told through blood works that he was going to be born with trisomy 21. And so I realized that we weren't directed to any resource that were in our community. And so if I didn't know better, if I weren't exposed to Down syndrome, caring for these people and so on, I don't know what else I would do or what else I would think, because I was actually introduced to terminating this child. And so I was mad. I wasn't mad with my doctor, because we know that a doctor, I know, and most of us might know that a doctor is seeing the natural. But when you trust in God, you function from the supernatural, from the spiritual. And so I was mad that if I don't do something, if I don't step up and look beyond just me not having resources in our community, and now I'm going to be going on this journey, then somebody else, another child, is not going to make it in this world. And so Our Voice for the Voices ties in with the scripture here and me speaking up for what I know is right. And so when I come on to that, you know, the spiritual part, and Pastor, you know, Gabe, I was born and grew up in Jamaica. And so
I can't tell at all.
Wait a minute, am I losing my language? Don't let us start. All right, so let me talk a little patois then and see if I'm going to lose you. So that I have my tongue still. When I grew up in Jamaica, and this is the job I did. And so, like you, I have your cousin and so on. I grew up, our school was next door to another school that has a lot of kids with special needs. And so I would always go peek through the window and wonder, what's going on with that classroom? But I always loved the kids. And so my favorite of them all, working back in this this home in Jamaica, was one with Down syndrome. So I am no stranger. So when I found out that we were having mine, I was really glad. So wanting to provide resources in our community and the surrounding community became my drive now. And then having Nathan and all of this, it feels like it puts my life into perspective and give it purpose and ties all together. So as a child, I always wanted three things. And that was to be married, to teach the word of God, to be married to a man who loved the Lord, and to have seven kids.
So you've got one to go. Is that
what
you're telling me?
I'm going to adopt that one. So, guys, I will adopt.
Oh, my goodness.
So yes.
You are a hoot. You really are. You're so much fun.
Yes. We're going to be adapting the next one. My husband's like, no more in Marsha.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Well, good luck with that. Have you started that process yet? Do you have an idea where will it because there are a lot of countries in the world where how do I put this, that are not like the United States. There's a lot of need to adopt babies all over the world, including in the United States, I guess I should say.
You know, we haven't thought about it so far as yet. But so right now, we're just getting out there and serving. And I bet you got us a plan right there.
Fair enough.
So we're open. Okay. And when it comes to the pastor part, you know, I always wanted to teach the Word of God. And so I did my studies so I can, you know, build myself up so when I open my mouth to speak, I am not adding or not taking away. So my foundation is built solid on that. I got saved when I was 16 years old. And I'm so glad because to be able to take care of people who are unique, it takes a lot of person, a lot of people who are not only self-centered. You got to be able to treat people as though you'd want to be treated. And so we are so happy that we get to parent this child and not someone else. And so being able to provide the resources for mothers and caregivers and just families who are out there, it has become like my drive. It has become the mission and the vision combined in one. I have a vision. I'm imagining a world where people with Down syndrome or any other special needs or, you know, any other diagnosis, that one day there will be enough people like you and I, a combined voices, that will stand up and speak up so that these people who have this need or this diagnosis can live and thrive, serving their gifts and talents to their homes. Because I tell you, they bring warmth to the homes. They build families, right? To the community, so that their voices and their talents can be heard. And so it's like, that's what keeps me up at night. Looking over everything, imagining this big vision of this world where we all realize that Proverbs 31 verses 8 to 9, is that just for Marsha or a voice for the voices, but we ought to be speaking up. And actually, we are that people. Because if you know, as I go around in community and so on, and when we see things happening and so on, we see people chiming in and speaking up and serving and giving. I have the opportunity to reach out to someone in our community, or many people in our community. I had the opportunity to reach out, Gabe, to our community and said, first of all, I said, my husband, you know, we're going to start go out now. Because, you know, let's look beyond ourselves here, because there is families right now there who get the diagnosis. And that woman, she might be on the couch for days. She might be crying in the bathroom. She have nobody who understands the road and the journey that she's on right now, because it's a different path, right? And so that's why it's important for our voices to create this new outlook so that you who are out there can understand that now you're going to kind of like create your path from your community to the resources that you need. It's just this unique pathway, right? And so when I joined the Chamber of Commerce, because I wanted to be at that connection and everything. So I am the voice, right? Not only for Nathan Wigan, but for that woman right now, who she's probably on the couch, or for that one family that just got broke up because the husband cannot understand why we have to have this child, right? Gabe, there's a connotation that only women in their 30s and 40s have a child with special needs. But that couldn't have been farthest from the truth. Because I have in my community right now women who are 18 years old, 20 years old, and this is their first child, and this is a child with Down syndrome or other special needs. And so it broke up families. So connecting with that mom who just get the diagnosis, or she's on the journey parenting, or the one who's afraid, you know, that her home is or family is going to be break up, or she's just crying and sobbing over the loss of this awesome child that's she's expecting going to grow up to go to college and get married one day. I have news for you guys. It actually still happened right? It's just this new pathway you have to navigate. And so having resources and such is important. So when I reach out to my community and I said, you know what, Mother's Day is coming up. And I didn't want to do anything on the day, the Mother's Day, you know, May 14th. So I wanted to do that connection on May 12th. Because we're special mothers, why not create our own day, right? So we're not encroaching on the day, right? We know as special mothers that every day for us is special. But when I think about what I want to do, I want to connect. I said, you know what? We're going to create this event. It's called Brunch and Connection, May 12th, right here in our community, in our local library, Rifle Branch Library, 205 East Avenue, Rifle, Colorado 81650, just in case you're listening somewhere and you're wondering where that is. But when I reach out to my community, I turn up on foot to Starbucks. And I said, hey, this is what we have going on. I don't even know what I'm doing, okay? But I show up because a part of wanting to be the voice is not sitting down and open, is to go do it. So I turn up to Starbucks and they say, yeah, we'll donate something. I turn up to the one bakery downtown. I can't say this word, but Cafe. And they said, oh, yeah, the woman never seen me before. And she said, we can do something. Select RV mobile repair. There are a new couple, a new addition to our community. They're out there in Parachute. They're just like, okay, I want to volunteer. We want to do whatever you want so that we can reach this family. Ride, Dee, who is over there in Silt, and she's doing the Ride program for I think it's called Equestrian kids and whatnot, riding horses, special kids actually riding horses. Yes, that's the capability, that's the possibility, it's endless. And then we reach out to Great Clips, which is here in Rifle, and the woman, she didn't even ask me for my ID or anything. She's like, sure, we want to participate in this to make it a great venture. Walmart here in Rifle, I turn up, I just ask the question, said, this is what we're doing, this is who we are, and we're building our special needs community, and we're doing something special. For, of course, we're special mothers and this one day. And they all participate. Lily's Kitchen here in Rifle City Market, we turn up, and everybody give me something. So I have a whole host of diverse gifts ready for our mothers and our caregivers who's going to turn up. And so if there's anyone else out there who want to participate, I might not be able to still put your logo on the flyer and so on, or mention you on this program again, because then it's Friday coming up. However, there's always going to be an opportunity to serve, to give, to donate, to partner together, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a unified voice to reach these families who now feel hopeless. They feel dejected. They feel like they've lost something that was due to them. But in reality, there is hope. And you know, when I use the word hope, Gabe, I absolutely love to explain it a little bit, because I've seen hope used in many aspects. And when I think of hope for families who get the diagnosis and now feel dejected and feel like everything is lost, I'm thinking about the hope that says, hope is the confident expectation that God will do absolutely what he says he will do for us. So I make sure I always keep that for myself too, because we are that parent. I am that mother who's on that journey, 4 years into caring for our kids, but 20 odd years into caring and being the voice for those other kids back home. And even in this country, when I get here, I worked as I'm still a certified CNA, serving the elderly community and the special needs community. Oh my God, I can't tell you how much it drives me. It lights me up. You don't have to pay me to do that kind of work, right? I will forget. I will forget to eat and drink when I serve the special community.
You know, from that, your story, that what you just said, I'm thinking what you said earlier about, oh, everything happens for a reason and there's a plan and all of that. And it occurs to me that based on how much you love to serve and how much you love to take care of people, maybe you were meant to have Nathan, because you're taking care of him perhaps better than someone else would have.
You know, when you say that, man, I might drop a few tears. But if I drop a few tears, absolutely believe me from my heart that it's not because I'm mourning anything. It's the love, the passion, and it could have never been far from the truth. You eat the, as we said in Jamaica, you eat the nail on the head. I was meant to bring this child. I was prepared. Can you imagine? I was prepared. And so I think that my husband and I have done some work with special needs as well in his state and when he was in college. But I think I am 100% and more prepared to be the parent of this child. And as a result of that, Gabe, we have gone the extra mile to learn and to understand about trisomy 21. Actually, when I was before the pandemic and I was in the CMC college, and when I learned about Nathan's diagnosis, and I, one thing that stuck with me was I won't be able to learn. And so I sat up in the nights and I said, okay, God, I chat with him like we're chatting with you, okay? And I said, okay, if you give me this child, I know you know, because the word says that you knew the end from the beginning. So you start at the beginning right there and you went to the end and then you start over, you start right there. So you knew that this was a part of my journey. You prepared me because all my life, from 18 years old, I worked at that children's home. And so I never know when it was payday, right? So if you give me this child to take care of my own, not just that 20-year-old Mark who was my boy, okay? That was my baby. He was 20 years old, but that's it. You know, he could jewel on me. I mean, we wear uniform, but who cares? I could leave and go in my uniform too. He jewels on me. I wash his feet. I do. Oh my God, I care for that boy. That was my baby. And now I'm having my own. I said, okay, God, if you're giving me this child, so then you got to give me resources. You got to teach me how to, because one of the things doctors, you know, they told me that there was going to be a hole in his heart. And so that's one of the things that can happen to kids with Down syndrome, having that, you know, septum valve open right there and they're going to need an open eye surgery. That was the only thing I said, I don't want you to give him. I don't want you anything to hurt him, right? I said, you can give him one eye, you can give him one toe, whatever, six toes, abnormal, I don't care. Just not open eye surgery. I prayed and he was healed. Now, somebody might have said, but Marsha, I have prayed too and I didn't get healing. Here's what I would say about that. God can do anything that he wants. And so if healing was in Nathan's plan from the beginning, then that was in the plan from the beginning. It's not because I prayed that, you know, he did what I've said. No. You know, the word says that everything is God and God can do whatever he wants. I love the scripture that says, the earth is the Lord. I'm thinking about the earth. I'm thinking about right here where I'm sitting right now or standing. Is the Lord and the fullness thereof. That means everything in it. And so is Nathan. And so if healing wasn't in Nathan's plan, then probably I wouldn't get it. If healing, you know, you understand, because that's what I believe. And so, Gabe, we go the extra mile to understand trisomy 21, Down syndrome. And so in college, I did that as a little abstract. Because I said, you know, our tutor said you can choose whatever topic. And that was to find out, can Down syndrome kids learn? And men, yes, we found in that small abstract that kids with Down syndrome can learn. The problem is we can't find enough people to teach them, who understands them, who patient enough, who is kind and gentle and nurturing and all those stuff enough. And so education is absolutely a part of our voice for the voices. We don't want to just be speaking and whatnot. We want to be educating around what is Down syndrome, right? And so a community is important because this is an abnormal journey. The regular friends can't be your regular friends anymore because they don't understand that your child is not going to speak like my first child, who's now 23. Everything was seeming normal. So Nathan for age four stage is absolutely different because neurologically he's functioning maybe at a 3-year-old level, right? Chronologically he's four. So if a parent or caregiver don't understand their education and understanding around. Then you can't care for them with this love and compassion. And that's why I know I was meant. So I did that study and that abstract, and I said, okay, so I'm going to be the teacher. I did early childhood education right here at CMC College, and would have been a big support as well. Thank you, Tinker and the rest of the team. But education is a must. A community that's different, it's a must, because your average mama ain't going to understand this whole thing. Why is your child not potty trained? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. He's still using his diaper. Yes, because neurologically, he's a three-year-old, and you have that part of him. There's so much things, Gabe, that kids with Down syndrome goes through that no one understands. Mm-hmm. Their sensory issue. Our son, half of his body, he doesn't feel like, you know, we have things that we do with him. And that's where early intervention will come in play as well. And so we do stuff with him that, you know, have to stimulate him. Because you prick him with something, and we've done this on purpose based on the training that we have done to help him, to stimulate him. And so he doesn't feel it. And so if a child ain't feeling, they don't know when they want to pee. They're not going to know when they want to poop. But through early intervention, we can help the brain along, because the brain grows by use, right? And
sure.
So
yeah,
with that early intervention, yes, if you don't use it, you ain't going to have it. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? Is that if you don't put the information in, and if the information is not going to go into the brain, like for Nathan and like the average four-year-old game, then with early intervention, you introduce that. And so we do like about four different things where we pay attention to nutrition, physical exercise, cognitive stuff, where we, instead of wait for Nathan to learn to read, we put words on paper and we use flashcards throughout the day. We do small amount of a variety, we call it a variety of knowledge. So we have, information about past presidents, historical places, breakdown into bite sizes. Some of them is pictures. Let's say it's one word. Give children with special needs, or other kids too, facts, and they'll figure out the auto. And so that's the kind of approach when you come into early intervention. And a lot more. And so connecting with our mothers is like, that's all I want right now.
And is that the point of the brunch on Friday, is to connect mothers together?
Yes, connect our mothers. And when we say mothers, let me say this, because I have an awesome husband. It does not exclude our dad.
Okay.
Dads do not sit out there and feel exclude our grandfathers or uncles, because it takes the village to raise.
Fair enough. So because it's Mother's Day is why you call it the Mother's Day brunch. Again, it's this Friday from 11 to 2 at the Rifle Library. And you are going to have, it is a brunch, so you'll have pastries and fruit and coffee, yes, and maybe some breakfast wraps, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And
gifts.
Yep. Are your sponsors paying for this, or are you charging an admission for folks to get in?
No admission to our family. Okay. No admission. Actually, the Starbucks and these other places I mentioned, right, and whatnot, Fairway, Great Clips, they all donated something. So we have physical gifts, and so we have. So just come on out with your awesome self. Invite. So it could be a dad out there who is caring to the child. Hey, when we say mother, we are just talking about the whoever it is that's in that child's life, whoever it is that's been the voice.
Caregivers.
For that child. Caregivers. Yes.
Okay. All right. And again, if you have any questions, you can just send Marcia an email. It's ourvoiceforthevoiceless@gmail.com. Your phone number is pretty simple. Do you want to give the phone number if folks would like to give you a call and have a conversation? So it is 970. The prefix is 307-0109. So 970-307-0109. And again, go ahead.
Yes. And so we're always looking to connect with organizations, donors, sponsors, volunteers, because it's not going to take one voice, but it's going to take our voices collaboratively. And the end of it, you might not know someone, Gabe, but who do you might not be the one who to, you know, who's going to donate, volunteer, but who do you know? Connect us. And so we can collectively do what Proverbs says. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute, speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy.
And again, that's this Friday, 12th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Rifle Library. Drop in, bring the kids, and maybe make some connections.
Yes.
And for folks that are maybe new parents with a child that has some kind of significant need, maybe they can make some connections and learn from parents that have been there for a while, that have learned a little bit. You mentioned that Nathan's only four, but as you mentioned, you've been looking forward to this moment for so long, just because you've always been a caregiver. I mean, since you were very young.
Yes.
I'm still trying to reconcile the fact that you have a 23-year-old, because you do not look old enough to have a 23-year-old. But I will take your word for it. I believe you.
Yes, 23 years old. Until 23, can I tell you?
Go 20, ahead, sure.
23, 19, 17, my son is in Rifle High School. Actually, he qualified to go to state to do triple jump as well.
Oh, awesome. So the track and field this month. Yeah, okay.
And so my girls work with All Kids Dental. Thank you so much, All Kids Dental. And so my other one is 11 and 9, and this month she's going to be 10, and Nathan is 4 years old.
And then who knows how old the baby that you will adopt will be.
So. Right? You know what? Let's just say this. We're just going to adopt all kids with special needs.
Oh.
So I'm going to get more than my 6. Because when you speak up, you're not. I don't want to speak up just for one. I want to speak up for every children with Down syndrome and other special needs. Get to remember that special needs is just, if it's autism, it's just a label. If it's cerebral palsy, it's just a label, right?
Just so like Down syndrome is a label for any number of symptoms, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so Down syndrome is always, most people don't know, it's the doctor who found out, who start the process of coming up with the
Like symptoms. So many things. I mean, it's in any number of areas, whether it's medicine or geology, you know, often they name whatever after whoever discovered it, right? Or whoever quantified it. Is that the right word? I think you understand what I mean. Defined it.
Defined, Who started it? Because sometimes I think Dr. Down started and another doctor come along and put his touch on it.
Interesting. So
it's just a label, guys. And so one of the things I would love for, you know, organization, and eventually we're going to get in there in our organization, get our information, so that when this family found out, you know, there's a need, they know that there is something right here in our community, in Rifle, in and the neighboring communities, so they don't have to always point us to Grand Junction or to Denver. I hated that. It is a strong word, but I didn't like the fact that when the next thing you need to know is, oh, you need to talk to a genetic counselor down there in Denver. And you never get somebody on the phone.
Right.
So help us to build our community right here in Rifle and the surrounding, and put a rest to stigma connotations. Because our people with special needs, they're the most awesome, lovingest people in the world. If it was only for them, if it was only for people with special needs, there wouldn't be any crime, any hatred, anything like that. So let us collectively do this. Help me. And I'm going to say please, pretty please. Because I know from right now, I can find mothers who all can tell you, say, Gabe, of course, when I get a diagnosis, they told me I could have terminated. You know, on my podcast.
That wasn't even a consideration for you, was it?
I mean, absolutely not with Peer Capital. Absolutely not. When I sit on with my podcast guest on our Voice of Hope show, I had the privilege of interviewing a pastor, and they told her this thing too. And she said with her husband, you know, hey, we're going to go to the ends of it. And so this young lady right now is 19 years old, awesome student in college, brilliant, and serving her community. That's what's possible, guys. I still want to just get all my mothers and caregivers, and if it's the dad, grandfather, whoever it is that's caring for these kids, I just want to wrap my arms, my heart, my love, everything around them and say, come, let's walk together. Because the community, it's going to look different. You got to look different. It's because I know better, and I don't want, you know, there's one word that I hear all the time. I don't necessarily use it, and it's inclusion.
Oh, sure. Okay.
I don't wait for inclusion. Because if you wait for it, it's coming like you're entitled to something. I go and create it. And so that's why we are the family that we are surrounding Nathan. I don't wait till said, oh my God, where's my community? I go build it. What do you want? What do you want to surround that child, awesome Nathan, with? I want positive, encouraging, caring, kind, loving, patient. Because you're going to need that. Because, hey, he still wear a diaper. So I have to pack and stack up the diaper bag still. Oh, wait. You mean on the way to 5 years old? Yes. Why? Because he's not like your average four-year-old. And I'm cool with that. He's brilliant. He knows his ABC. He knows the letter sounds. Why? Because we take the time and meet him right where he's at. And so that's why he's not out there in the regular. I homeschool him. I homeschool my kids, my three youngest, with resources, a variety of diverse resources that taps into their creativity and who they are and how they learn. And it's just beautiful. And Nathan is one of them.
So again, if you're listening right now and you're a caretaker for a child that has any disability, really, you're welcome to attend the special Mother's Day brunch and connection. Yes, it is Mother's Day weekend, but everyone is welcome, the entire family, including the kids, again at the Rifle Library from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. with some door prizes that you mentioned, coffee, fruit, pastries, wraps, again, provided by local businesses.
Yes.
You have mentioned a number of times. So when you first came to this area, you actually worked in Aspen.
Yes.
You've talked a lot about, you know, Newcastle Silt Rifle Parachute, Our Voice for the Voiceless. Do you have geographic boundaries? Is it Aspen to Parachute? Is it just like the Lower Valley?
Thank you so much for asking that question. I love it because I just feel like something perks me up. There's no boundary.
Okay.
I'm living in Rifle for right now, but there's no boundary. So it's Rifle and our surrounding area. Let's say global. Why it's global for our voices is because a woman who is going to or is probably expecting right now a child with Down syndrome, she's not only confined to Rifle and the surrounding area. So,
okay. So
in person and online is also what we do. We have a community online as well.
Okay.
And so,
and if you can attend on Friday at the Rifle Library, you're welcome. Otherwise, again, the website that you mentioned earlier, where your blog is and where you share some of your podcasts, is a1momsloveparenting.com. And again, the email for Marcia is ourvoiceforthevoiceless@gmail.com. One more time, let me give that phone number. It's 970-307-0109. Any final thoughts as we wrap up the conversation today?
Thank you so much for having me. Listeners, thank you so much for listening and connecting us with who you know. Because I tell you, sometimes you hear people said that they can't manage, they couldn't do this. It's okay if you can't do it. So if you can't do it, connect us with who you know, organizations, persons, and whatnot. And one more thing right there is that when I came to this country, I can tell the amount of organizations that helped me. And so this is my way of giving back and ensuring, that I treat people as though I'd want to be treated. All the way from Jamaica to Aspen, Basalt, Carbondale, Glenwood Springs. I'm beginning to tell you the organization that helped me through domestic violence and all the way down the journey. And so here am I having my child with Down syndrome, serving like this.
You just took me back to first grade and something that my first grade teacher would call the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them, right?
Yes, sir. do unto others. And don't sit for others to do it to you. And with the golden rule, the person you do it to, Gabe, I might offer you a cup of water and you may never offer me. That's okay. Just do your part and this will make it a better place.
I appreciate that. I like that very much. This has been so much fun. I love your sense of humor. And it's so funny. We were joking about the Jamaican accent. And when I really got you fired up, the accent did go away a little bit.
You know what? For that, I have to say this. Big up to all of me yard people out there, Jamaicans abroad. Just keep holding the faith and just go on, do your thing right in your corner. Right in your corner because you guys don't know the rules already. You just take care of the place where you're there, all right? To all the yardies, and come find me and members so you can donate as well. And every donation is 100% tax deductible as well because we're a 501c3 organization.
You bet. Again, it's Our Voice for the Voiceless. That's the nonprofit. Again, their Mother's Day brunch and connection. So getting together this Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Rifle Library. Again, any caregiver as well as the kids are welcome to stop by, maybe make some connections and talk with other people that are that have that sense of caregiving for kids that have some kind of special need.
Yes, I think we can get the resources together.
Right, resources. Well. Yep, mm-hmm. You bet. Marsha, all the best. We will. I have a feeling we'll be talking again sometime.
Yes.
Talk to you soon. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.